Welcome to Fun Dip and Cherry Coke, the podcast to feed your pop culture nostalgia. Joining me this week is Graham, and I'll let Graham talk about what he's here to talk about.
Cool.
Hi, Graham.
Hi, Kira. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on.
My favorite show growing up was Clarissa Explains It All, and I was probably like 7 or 8 years old when it was on, is my guess, but I don't remember that well. But I
looked it up. It aired from 1991 to 1994.
Okay. Yeah, I would have been 8 maybe when it ended.
Yeah.
Okay. Which makes sense, because I do think I remember, like, specific episodes that came from later in the series. Like, I remember the last one, and then they brought it back for, like, a college years.
Oh, God.
But I don't think it was very successful. But I remember that, too.
When was that? Do you remember?
Very shortly after it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. She was, like, it was the next year. So she graduated high school at the end of the series, and then she always wanted to be a journalist, and so she was in journalism school.
Okay. I feel like some shows do that really successfully, like, transfer from, like, high school to college years. Like, I think Buffy was one that I can think of that really successfully made that transition, but...
Yeah. Yeah, well, Buffy, even when they were in high school, they were, I don't know, more mature than most high schoolers
are. That's true.
Who knows? My recollection is that Clarissa was a little bit more juvenile. It was because it was a kid's show,
sure.
So it wasn't trying to appeal to high schoolers even.
So I didn't watch this show at all growing up. What is the all that she explained?
I think probably it's, you know, being a teenager and how to navigate the obstacles life throws at you, like familial issues and having an annoying little brother.
I can relate to that.
Wanting to drive a car.
Okay. Okay. See, this one for me was always kind of in the same category as Alex Mack and Sabrina.
The Teenage Witch?
Yeah. Oh, no, the other Sabrina.
Well, I have no idea.
I think there's only the Teenage Witch.
Okay.
But I don't know if that was... Wait, who played Sabrina?
Melissa Joan Hart.
Okay, yeah. So that explains that. And then it was Larissa...
Olenek.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
Who played Alex Mack.
Yeah.
And I confuse them a lot.
I could see that.
Was this before or after Sabrina?
This was before Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Okay.
And also pretty far before The Secret World of Alex Mack.
Because
I feel like I was graduating from Nickelodeon when that show was on.
Okay. And I must have just been watching, like, My Little Pony or whatever. And then...
I also loved My Little
seeing
Pony.
Seeing every, like, all of these... more, I guess, adolescent shows in rerun only.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if this was on SNICK. Did you ever watch SNICK?
I did. Was Sabrina also?
No, because Sabrina was like ABC or something.
I have no idea.
It was like a legitimate show.
I did watch SNICK.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I didn't ever watch that.
Oh, no. You got to check that out.
I'm trying to think. Because now I don't know if I watched it. Because if I didn't watch this and I didn't watch that, then what would I have watched?
Well, I don't necessarily recall if Clarissa Explains It All was on SNICK. It could have been. But it was on Saturday. This is all not something I thought of in years. But
good.
It was Saturday night for like 2 hours. There were 4 shows. And it would like end with Are You Afraid of the Dark? And then after that, it would be Nick at Night. Like... I Love Lucy. God, I was obsessed with
TV. What were the first 3?
I think it changed. Like, I think something about All That.
Okay.
Is that a show?
Yes. Did that have Amanda Bynes in it?
Yeah. It was a sketch comedy show with, like, Kenan and Kel and Amanda Bynes.
Okay, because I wanted to say Kenan and Kel, and I was like, I don't feel like that's right, but...
Was that what it was called, though, All That, or It's All That?
I watched that show, whatever it was, with Kenan and Kel and Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
And I think it was All That. We can look that up and kind of put this in the context of Clarissa. So what kind of sticks out to you? What do you sort of remember about the show?
So Clarissa had a little brother named Ferguson. I remember that because I was a little brother. And so I kind of identified with him, even though he's generally a pretty awful character.
Did you watch Even Stevens at all?
Not really, a little bit.
Okay, because speaking of annoying little brothers.
Was he an annoying little brother?
Shia LaBeouf plays the annoying little brother of the lady.
I only saw bits and pieces, but I thought that Shia LaBeouf and his older sister got along. Like, weren't they kind of buds?
Yeah, but I don't know. See, in my memory, he was super annoying.
That could be.
He didn't. And I'm coming at it from the perspective of an older sister, so.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, maybe you will have something in common with Clarissa.
I think I will. Okay, so Ferguson, the annoying little brother.
Yeah, and then she had a mother and a father. It was a, you know, very American nuclear family. Mm-hmm. And her best friend, Sam, lived out the back window because he always comes in through her bedroom window up a ladder.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Which, as a 7-year-old, just seemed like the most natural thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you climb into your friend's room through a ladder? But when you're 16, it's a little more questionable.
And, like, of course her parents were totally cool with that.
Yes. They would just walk in and then they'd leave for 3 minutes and they'd come back and suddenly Sam would have come in through the window.
So in my memory, and I think I am conflating it with Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but I feel like a lot of the episodes take place in her bedroom. Is that?
Yeah, I think, because she has like a desk chair, I think, where she does sort of a lot of like monologue. So she breaks the third wall or a lot and talks directly to the audience. And often that is from her desk chair in front of a computer where presumably she studies. But she also sits on her bed a lot, and I think she has a guitar.
Oh, cool. But it doesn't take place, like, at school, does it?
Not usually. It's pretty much all... as I recall, it's pretty much all at home. But they do reference things at school. Like, events offset, I guess, drive some of the plot and dialogue, as I recall.
Sounds like a good way to stick to a budget, if nothing else.
Yeah. Probably that was it.
What else? What else do you remember?
So the specific episodes that I remember are, there's one where she and Ferguson end up on a game show, which I think may actually have been in season one, and I just saw reruns or something. Mm-hmm. And then I remember the very last episode where she ends up, like, going to Sam's father, who is a journalist, and he just, like, sleeps standing up all the time and doesn't actually do any work. and those are kind of the specifics. I remember her mother and father are kind of eccentric characters, and they're always up to something. Her father's an architect. And her mother, at some point, I think, drinks ginkgo biloba.
Excuse me?
Ginkgo biloba.
I thought you said go biloba. I was like, wait. Sorry. Ginkgo biloba.
Is that a thing? I
don't think you can drink that.
Oh, well.
Maybe.
I was a child, so somehow in my head, her mother drinks something like ginkgo biloba.
Okay.
I don't even know what that is as an adult, so.
It's a supplement that's good for your brain?
Sure.
We can look that up.
Is it a tree?
Let's not look it up. It might be a tree. It's a plant. Yeah. Cool. Well, are you ready to watch it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Great. Let's do it. And we're back. That was fun.
That was great.
So we watched 4 episodes. We watched the first episode, the second episode, and then a random episode from season 4 and a random episode from season 5. Well, not fully random. Like, right. Random as in chosen by the internet as being a good choice.
Exactly.
So, just as a kind of recap, the first season was in 1991. And then the other ones were like 93, 94.
Yes. And the first episode was... Well, the second episode was about her preparing for class picture day and wanting to be unique. And the first episode, which I kind of feel like maybe was filmed after, but ended up being aired first because she had a friend in the second episode that I don't think ever shows up again.
Oh, and wait, which friend?
Jody?
Oh, no, she was in episode 2. Yeah, you're right.
So okay. I'm wondering if maybe they filmed that thinking it would be the pilot, and then they were like, wait, this doesn't work. We'll slot in a later episode as, like, the first.
Oh, interesting. See, I thought the first episode really did a good job of being like, this is who I am, this is what I'm about. Because she had the, like, likes and dislikes, and they really set up the format.
So maybe they... film. Yeah, I just was like, who is this Jody girl? And because I'm pretty sure she doesn't show up ever. I have no idea though.
Well, she's a terrible actor.
She was terrible.
She was really bad.
I mean, her boyfriend that she's not really going steady with was also terrible, and he apparently recurred in at least 2 seasons,
right? Yeah.
Clifford.
I wanted to call him Cameron, but no, Clifford. He doesn't look like a Clifford.
Nowhere does he look like a spleen herfer.
The last names in this TV show are bonkers.
I actually really enjoyed them.
What was Kiki's last name?
Vicky and Kiki. That's the one I remember.
Well, no,
Vicky and Kiki de. Now I can't remember.
Was that the same Kiki that Clifford started dating in season 4?
No, it couldn't. There's been, 'cause Vicky and Kiki were in her mother's yearbook. Right? The twins. Vicky and Kiki. Daviki?
Yeah, something like that. Were they in her mother's yearbook or hers?
They were in her mother's yearbook.
Okay.
The one from which her father's image was...
not pictured.
Not
ominously
available. Yes.
So basically, at least for the first 2 episodes, my number one thought was, if anybody is trying to go to a 90s themed party and doesn't know what to wear, they should just watch an episode of this TV show and they'd be all set.
Yeah, she had some pretty great outfits.
What was your favorite?
From the first 2 episodes?
From all of it.
I think my favorite was, well, I really liked that white blouse that kind of like did that 90s tuck up over the
where you take the bottom part and
stick it through the top and pull it back down.
Was that the one with the big sleeves?
Yes.
The like pirate one?
I would say pirate like, yes.
Pirate blouse.
I also really liked the like dress with the necklace and the pigtails where she kind of looked. I think it was a little I don't know, she was foreshadowing her Sabrina the Teenage Witch days somehow.
So it was sort of Salem-esque.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking more Little House on the Prairie, but I totally see it.
That is probably more accurate.
I think my favorite outfits were the ones in the Picture Day episode, where she's like really... Actually, you know what? My favorite is the one that she chose to be her Picture Day.
The salt and pepper one?
Yeah. With like the beaded baseball cap. That was a cool hat.
But I'm just not a fan of hats generally. That was a cool hat.
Where she's got it, like, at an angle.
Yeah. I liked the checkered, the sort of matching, like, checkered hairband with whatever else she was wearing.
With the red shirt and the cutoff jeans with floral patterned leggings underneath.
Yes.
And, like, checker patterned high socks. That was a good look.
I liked that look.
And her hairstyles.
Which were There were some diverse hairstyles.
Yeah, she really does a lot. She does it up. In the very first episode, it's like on the top of her head with a scrunchie. And she's got straight hair, but she's got these classic 90s bangs that I had in the early 2000s, a decade late.
I honestly do not remember what my bangs looked like 25 years ago.
Did you ever have any weird hairstyles?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know. I doubt it.
We'll just have to go through the old albums. We'll have to
plus pictures.
So yeah, the style was super 90s. She did a hairstyle where she put it back in a ponytail and then parted the ponytail in the middle and tucked her ponytail through itself, kind of. And that was a big deal in the 90s. I remember doing that when my hair was long enough to do that.
That one I'm pretty confident I don't have any personal experience with.
You'd have to have really long hair for that to work.
Yeah.
And then you could do that and then pull it. Oh, no. There were some styles where you could, like, do that and then pull it into another ponytail and then, like, do it again and just, like, create this cascading hair.
Ponytail within a ponytail.
Yeah. Ponytail inception.
We have to go deeper.
What did you think of the set?
The set? So, yeah, I think I made an exclamation at one point. I think, and I had totally forgotten about this, but I think I saw the set possibly, like, while they were recording when I was, like, a child going to Universal Studios with my cousin.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So, but the set was, it reminded me kind of like, any early 90s TV show, like especially Roseanne, where the couch kind of, and maybe, yeah, the couch and then the stair coming down from the top right to the bottom left.
And then the door.
The door going out. Actually, it's the same set as still in like modern sitcoms, like King of Queens and that one show with, it's like kind of like Carissa Explains It All on Disney Channel, and she is filming videos of herself for her baby little sister.
With
who's something in about it? Charlie.
Oh, yeah, I don't know it, but yeah, it's a very kind of classic set, and the walls are super brightly colored, and the only scenes that take place outside of the house are like flashbacks. And those are minimal,
right?
Or like imaginations, like there's one scene where she's in the high school and there's some boys and they look at her in disgust and walk away.
That's right, they did have a reminiscence or
hypothetical
fantasy something. I guess about if she went steady with Clifford, would she repel all the other boys?
Well, we have to get into like the meat of the like deep explanations, I guess, lessons.
Yes, some of them were a little more, I don't know, obvious, heavy-handed, something.
That, yeah, so I felt like, so the first episode was, there were, I didn't really feel like anything was explained to me. Did you?
I don't. Yeah, it'd be tough to immediately come up with a theme. I mean, the storylines were her trying to get revenge on her brother for having brought her training bra as show and tell.
Oh, yeah.
And Sam trying to get out of football. Tryouts.
I don't recall there being a super clear resolution.
Yeah, other than that Sam ends up injuring himself instead of Ferguson.
And then the second episode was much more clear.
Right.
It was about kind of being yourself and expressing yourself. And even if you're, well, like, and not worrying about embarrassing your future self, kind of. Because basically, so Clarissa wants to wear this super ridiculous outfit for class pictures, and her mom is very against it. Her mom's like, no, you'll regret standing out, like you want to just be classic and wear the cardigan blue and knee socks.
Pleated shirt, knee socks.
Yeah. And Clarissa really fights her on that, and the mom eventually comes around, and it turns out that everybody in the class picture looks ridiculous. So she doesn't stand out because everybody...
They all kind of copy her style.
Yeah. So it's kind of a cool lesson about, like, being yourself.
Nonconformist.
Right.
Because her father's photo wasn't even printed in the yearbook, it turns out, because he had long hair and was, like, flashing a peace sign or something, right?
And, like, hippie glasses or something.
Oh, yeah, and glasses. But it was the photo that caused her mother to fall in love with him.
Right. So, like, I don't know. The mom character was the one that I had the biggest problem with. Because she just doesn't... She didn't make sense to me. Like, she's a pre-K teacher. She's like, we're gonna monster size today in class. Like, do it. Monster
exercise? Was that what that word was? I did not understand.
I got it because I was like, I would like to monster size. And at the same time, she's like, you have to wear knee socks and a cardigan.
Right.
And she's like, enjoy my lentil muffins. I don't know. It just is like really incongruous to me.
Yeah, I think at least in the four that we watched, she was very undeveloped and kind of, I don't know, the butt of a lot of the family. I don't know. I guess they none of them were treated all that well in some ways.
Yeah, well, Ferguson's definitely a parody of, like, precocious, obnoxious little brother.
Yeah.
And the dad, I think the dad was probably represented the best of any family member.
Yeah, pretty ineffectual, I thought.
Yeah.
Just kind of had opinions that everyone just sort of ignored. He did have a great shirt, though.
He did. In that last episode, he was wearing a button-up shirt that was, like, half one color, half the other color, with this different color pocket.
With this, like, awesome navy blue pocket on the left breast. That was a good pocket.
It was pretty good. I just thought that he was kind of like, he was sort of just generic and supportive.
Yeah, he was more supportive.
And a little goofy.
I did like that line when Ferguson adopts a baby cat in one, and he's like, he's basically telling his father not to tell him how to raise his cat, and he's like, do I criticize your parenting? And he's like, no, but somebody probably should have.
That was pretty good. That was a good line. There was a lot in this that I could see missing as a kid, but, like, really enjoying if I was watching with my kids.
Yeah. Well, and there's stuff that we still kind of missed, like Doug Henning.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of kind of 90s cultural references, some of which are still relevant and some of which have not held up. So Doug Henning's was one. I looked him, Doug Henning. He was a Canadian magician. Never heard of him. Gunnar Nelson was another one.
Yeah.
He was a musician with some hits. They referenced Elvira, Winona Ryder.
I missed that one.
I don't remember when. Oh, it was about some hat.
Oh.
They were talking about some 90s hat.
That makes sense.
They referenced Pee Wee Herman, Sinead O'Connor. Clarissa's favorite bands are They Might Be Giants and Echo and the Bunnymen. And they also talk about Salt-N-Pepa.
See, she's pretty badass. Hip.
I mean, I could have learned something from her, for sure. And one thing that happened when the credits first started, I realized that I have watched this show a lot, and I remembered nothing but the credits.
I had a bunch of flashbacks. So, I mean, we talked about SNCC and all that, but when the credits started rolling, I remembered my other, like, favorite shows were Hey Dude and Salute Your Shorts.
And I never watched either of those either.
And Rugrats.
I watched a lot of Rugrats.
Golden age of television, man.
I watched, I guess on Nickelodeon it was more the cartoons, like Doug, Hey Arnold, and Rugrats. But those I think were all a little later.
Yeah, I think they overlapped significantly, but maybe they were like 94 to 7 or something.
Maybe.
I definitely watched a lot of Doug. Hey Arnold, I didn't ever really get into, but
I got so into Hey Arnold.
And then wasn't there like Real Monsters?
Didn't watch that one.
Yeah, me neither. Who knows? Anyway, but yeah, it was like a stroll down memory lane, like going back through those old early show mm-hmm. theme songs. Especially this one is like.
Yeah. How does this one go again? Yeah, I'm just getting it confused with a Doug one now.
Oh yeah, the Doug one's also.
That's maybe my favorite TV show intro of all time.
I like to salute your shorts.
How'd that one go?
Camp Bonawana, we hold you in our hearts. And when we think about you, it makes us never want to part. Except that the troublemaker character would always say it makes us want to fart. And then the counselor would yell, it's never want to buy it, get it right, or pay the price.
Anyway. No, so, I never watched that show.
That was a good one.
That means nothing to me.
I recommend checking it out.
Hopefully somebody will want to watch it for this show.
Yeah, they had something called an awful waffle, and they never actually explained what it was, but it was some kind of a punishment that involved lifting up your shirt to just, like, show your stomach and syrup. And I was always, like, really confused about what that was.
I wonder if rewatching it would be any more clear.
Yeah, it might be. Well, there were some things in this that, in Clarissa, that I think... I don't know, her relationship with her brother, for example, like, made a little bit more sense than some of the, what did she call him, demon hamster head or something?
Yeah, she had some pretty good insults. She called him a dork pie. She said, that dork pie has been a burn on my butt since I was born. And I was like, damn it, I would have used the shit out of that expression.
Yeah, I bet the producers of Veep went back and watched Clarissa to get some of their great insults.
I've never watched Veep.
Oh, you gotta watch Veep.
Okay. Just for the insults?
Just for the insults. Yeah. Especially, there's some seasons where they're just on fleek.
On fleek?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on fleek. One thing that I did pull up when we were watching the episode that we watched from season 5, guess who wrote that episode?
Genji Kohan.
No. is that a person or did you just make that up?
Yeah, she did. She's doing Glow and she did Weeds and Orange is the New Black.
No, it was Suzanne Collins, the person who wrote The Hunger Games.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I looked it up and yeah, it's the same one. So.
Wow.
Yeah, she started as a TV writer.
One. Have you talked about the super special guest star in that episode?
Super special guest star. So we watched this episode specifically because it features Dawson himself. The only James Vanderbeek. And he's so young in this.
He looks like a child.
Like, he's young in Dawson too, but...
Yeah, but he was good.
He was way better than Clifford. He was way better than Clifford. And way more handsome.
Although, I will say, you know, nothing against Susan Collins, but I felt like he didn't have a lot to work with.
Well, his character was kind of
yeah
supposed to be just boring boy.
Right.
But apparently, James Vanderbeek was Melissa Joan Hart's first onstage kiss. And they didn't kiss in this one that we watched, so...
They kept building to it, too. Oh, it was, like, almost... Oh, interrupted.
And then cut.
And then just totally never satisfied the audience.
So he must come back.
Clearly, he must be in another episode as well.
So that they can smooch.
Yeah. And she was apparently not excited about...
No.
...him being the guest star they chose for her first onstage smooch, according to that interview.
Not her type. Which, like, come on.
Yeah.
He's great.
There are more tactful ways of saying that. Yeah. So, yeah, she went on to do Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which I think was probably far more popular, but maybe doesn't have quite the same level of, like, nostalgia love right now.
Yeah, I don't... I don't know. We watched a thing about how people want her to do all kinds of reboots, and she's not super psyched to do reboots, but that it would be Sabrina and Clarissa, which is, like, I don't know. I think I know her best from Drive Me Crazy, the movie with the Britney Spears song.
I'm sure I saw that.
God, what? I don't remember the plot of it. Whatever.
She probably has a crush on a boy and gets in a car with her friends and figures out how to get him. And then does. That's my guess.
I think that's not quite right.
Shucks.
It has that guy from Entourage.
No.
Adrian.
Peterson.
I don't know how to say his last name, so I'm not going to. Everybody knows what I'm talking about except for you.
Yeah. My current pop culture knowledge is a little bit lacking.
Entourage is current?
Well, okay. My pop culture knowledge since 2001.
Okay, fair. I wanna talk more about kind of the main ideas in that last episode that we watched and kind of what you... Oh, no, I'm sorry, the second to last episode. I wanted to talk about the commitment episode and, like, how one might have interpreted that as a kid with zero dating experience versus as a grown-up.
Well, that's interesting.
Because she... So the main... Basically, she's seeing this guy, Clifford, and he asks her to go to his wrestling match, and she has other plans. So he gets angry at her and says that he wants more of a commitment from her, which sets her on this whole relationship spiral.
Right.
And she automatically assumes that if they commit to each other, they're going steady, which I'm doing air quotes around. And she just immediately jumps to, like, they're gonna get married.
Right.
So, I don't know.
So, I mean, I kind of think, I'm sure it impacts you as a kid, but I kind of think even at, like, young age, you're still exposed to, like, going steady in pop culture through, like, I kind of remember on a field trip, maybe it was, like, at summer camp, I ended up going steady with some girl that I had never met before, and we just went steady for, like, the bus ride.
Interesting.
And then never saw each other again. So,
okay.
I mean, I think I'm sure I was influenced probably by this or similar tropes.
Because it sounded like she thought that if they go steady, that's, like, a real thing. But they can date without going steady.
Right.
Which,
or hang out.
But, like, I don't know. Are they smooching? Who knows?
That's a good point. It doesn't really get into that.
But, to me, it seemed like a really kind of modern perspective.
Well, and it seemed to sort of acknowledge that, because at the end of that episode, she was like, well, we're just back to normal, where we're not going steady, and now we see each other every day.
Which is really kind of cool, actually, because I think I would have seen that and been like, I don't understand. Like, they're dating, they're a couple. Because I don't think I got...
Well, I don't think that they weren't... I still think they were a couple.
Even, like, when they were not
even
going
steady. Even when they
weren't
going steady. Because he didn't start dating the Kiki until they had stopped doing whatever they were doing, because she, like, it seemed to me like it was sort of analogous to, like, sort of the pressure of a DTR moment in any sort of relationship where it's,
I don't,
like,
know what DTR means.
Define the relationship.
Oh.
Where you kind of, like, well, are we exclusive? Are we going steady? Or whatever the sort of adult.
So the exclusivity was always assumed, regardless of the going steady label?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he would have been violating any... I don't know that it would have been infidelity if he had gone on a date with someone else.
Well,
like, so maybe they're not exclusive, but I think it was a more... I don't know. I think that's really what it is she wasn't comfortable with a commitment that required.
And I'm, like, the DTR moment to me is like the worst.
Right. That's when that's DTR is like when you break up.
You just taught me something. I had no idea that's what that meant. I know DTF.
Wow.
Different.
That's a better one to know, probably.
Totally different. I don't think Clarissa was DTF.
if she were, I hope she was being safe. Her parents seem like they probably would have been educational. I don't know.
Even her mom?
Yeah, her mom had... Her mom was like... She did sort of walk in two different worlds where she was kind of like airheaded and like... We're going to make, like, pizza crust out of squash. And I think I mentioned the ginkgo biloba before. That didn't come up in any of the episodes we watched. But, like, she was kind of like
that. She did make tofu pancakes.
Pancakes, yes. Yuck. So she's, like, sort of, like, I don't want to say new agey, but at least, like...
No, for sure. I think that's how they were trying to portray her.
But also sort of bringing that traditional cultural
pressure. Which is why I didn't... I couldn't wrap my head around her. It's because those... don't go together in my mind. Yeah. So I really don't know what kind of sex talk Clarissa has had.
Yeah, I bet there's an episode where they talk about the birds and the bees in this one.
I mean, so we specifically found ones where she deals with boys because I wanted to see those, but they don't talk about sex at all.
Although, I had forgotten about the reminiscence or the sort of offset or... whatever, lack of a better word, the fantasies that she has about, like, the future. And there is another episode that I remember very clearly where she, and maybe it's when she meets Clifford in season 2 or 3, where she's, like, trying to figure out what her feelings are and talking through it with her neighbor Sam. Mm. And she's, like, I think the fantasy is her sitting, like, in a rocking chair or something, talking about what her feelings are. And she's, like, well, it's not quite a longing, but maybe it's a yearning or something. Because I remember that's when I learned the word yearning and I didn't quite understand what was happening.
Interesting.
So that stuck with me. So there are other episodes relating to her relationships to the other sex.
I really liked her relationship, to kind of change the subject a little bit, with Sam.
Yeah.
He was great.
He was great. And I think he gets a little bit more developed in subsequent episodes. In these, he was really sort of, like, just the guy who walks in and out of windows.
Yeah.
And wears, well, at least one interesting outfit. Like, with the overalls, with only mm-hmm. one overall alt.
When we first meet him, he's wearing a Batman shirt.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me because I had that very same Batman shirt when I was 8 or 9.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool. And he's, like, supportive. And I don't know if there's ever any implication that they're anything more than platonic. But for the most part, he's just sort of a supportive foil.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, is he the Ginny Weasley or the Hermione Granger to Clarissa's Harry Potter?
Yeah, I would guess it's more like the Hermione.
That's kind of what I think, too. But
who knows? I can't remember at all.
I'd be happy with either.
I kind of hope it's the Hermione.
Not all great stories have to be love stories.
Right. Yeah. I just don't see them being more than friends. But maybe I'm sure I'm biased based on probably having had a crush on her when I was a kid.
I was about to ask, did you have a crush on Clarissa?
Oh, yeah.
Because how could you not?
How could you not?
I guess I would have had a crush on James Vanderbeek.
Would have? You mean you didn't?
No.
Did you watch Dawson's Creek?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing this podcast, is because I have so many gaps, and they're, like, big ones.
Well, I watched an episode of Dawson's Creek, and it was terrible.
Like, I can tell you there's Pacey and Dawson and Joey and Michelle Williams. Maybe? Who's the blonde woman in it?
I have no idea. I know there's Dawson. Yeah. I didn't even know who James Vanderbeek was.
I watched Seventh Heaven. That was my WB show.
I enjoyed Seventh Heaven, too. Yeah. I probably had a small crush on Lucy Camden. But nothing like my crush on Melissa Joan Hart in Clarissa Explains It All.
That makes sense.
But I don't think that carried over. Like, I didn't watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Just in and out.
Yeah.
Clarissa only.
Yeah, it was like 3 p.m. Clarissa Explains It All every day after school.
Can we talk about how she has a pet alligator?
Yeah, named Elvis.
Named Elvis, who owns a suit.
He's he's a pretty cool alligator. Although, what kind of parents would just... I mean, he's not like an... He's just in a big bowl
like full sand of sand. Like sandbox. Yeah.
So...
Like a kiddie pool in the corner of her room.
Which is extremely well decorated, I have to say.
Her room has a lot of... So, she's got Elvis. She's got, like, a half dollhouse.
Yep.
She's got a computer and a TV.
With... A VCR.
A VHS player, as I like to call them. A VHS player. And some hubcaps.
Yeah, she had 5 hubcaps. She also had at least 2 car posters.
Oh, my God.
And I do recall that, you know, her need for speed is a... is a
running
plot point throughout the series, I think.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Breaking the gender norms, I guess.
She's a pretty, I don't know, self-actualized or empowered. I don't know what the word would be, but...
She knows what she wants, and she's very comfortable in herself. I wish I had seen this show. I think she would have been a great role model to have kind of latched on to.
Yeah. She's not... she doesn't get, like, pigeonholed into traditional female roles.
She does have quite a hat collection.
Right.
She has so many hats. And I can relate to that, too.
And, I mean, she's got some good style. And she had the They Might Be Giants flood poster up on the wall above her bed. And a big stuffed elephant.
And, like, a lot of stuffed animals and stuff. Yeah. Like, I it kind of struck me as, like, this seems like the room that somebody who has just stopped being a child would have.
Yeah, walking in 2 different worlds still. Yeah.
But so the one thing, the one kind of moment where she wasn't true to herself was in that James Vanderbeek episode.
Or was she true to herself?
Okay.
She was tired of being Clarissa, and so she decided to be Jade and try. I mean, I don't know if she was. Is that really? I mean, it's. Is it really being dishonest? I feel like there's an authenticity to trying on different aspects of who you are.
That's true.
But she was dishonest with him eventually because she never, you know, she continued to put on that facade even though she didn't, she realized that it wasn't who she was at some
point. I mean, I've gone out in a wig before and I can definitely say that if I had met anybody, they would know that day that it was a wig. That she kept it on for, like, 3 dates seemed...
Right. Well, that was a little... I guess that's...
And that she didn't know what to do.
And she had talked it over with Sam, who provided wise counsel, and was like, Sam, you should tell him sooner rather than later. It's only going to get more difficult. And she's like, great, I'll tell him. And then he calls, and she actually answers as Clarissa, and then it's like, oh, wait, I'll get Jade. And
she answers to be Jade. On the landline.
On a landline.
With her whole family watching. Did she ever have anything like that where, like, someone that you liked or were, like, kind of dating called your home phone?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah?
Are you asking if I was...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was it? Was it awkward?
So, for me, I remember being, like, if you'd answer the phone in the kitchen, like, after eating dinner with your family, then, like, you'd have to have, like... You know, exchange the formalities and then say, hang on, let me go switch get it. The phone in a different room.
Yeah.
And everyone was, you know, that was just sort of standard operating procedure.
Wow.
Back then.
I used to take I used to take the phone outside and I knew, like, how far into the backyard the signal would carry. So I'd be, like, lying on the hammock. Actually, I think the best story that I have like that is when I was calling a boy, and I didn't know this, but he has the same name as his dad.
Oh, no.
So I called, and I asked for him, and his dad was, like, speaking, and I was like, you're not the one.
At least you recognized his voice.
And then he's like, oh, you mean the little one. And I was like, oh, yeah, put me on with the little one. I think he was, like, probably 15 at the time. It was adorable.
Well, that could have been a worse story.
Yeah. Oh no, I didn't. Story, I mean. I didn't say anything
yeah.
inappropriate to the father.
That's good.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was in the days before instant messaging, which really.
No, it was concurrent with instant messaging.
I guess it.
Because.
Overlapped some.
It was that same guy. I just didn't have, like, reliable internet. This was in New York, upstate. And, yeah, no, it was the same guy. We had instant messenger. We would, like, message all the time. Yeah.
Gosh, this is making me feel old.
Yeah.
So, overall, what do you think about Clarissa Dale? Would you say it has held up?
It held my interest, which is... about what I as high as I could expect. I thought it really crystallized the 90s.
Yeah, well, and it was in 1991, and I thought it was very much more 90s than 80s, even though, you know, through 92 I think you still get a lot more 80s a lot of the time.
So maybe it really shaped the 90s.
Yeah, could have been a big cultural influence.
That's pretty cool. I think, I don't know if people watching it now, like kids watching it now, would connect to it at all.
Mm. Like, I mean, technologically it's pretty different, but.
Yeah.
I don't know, I bet kids still climb up ladders into their friends' rooms.
I think it's too, like, innocent. Mm. Like, she's not texting boys all the time.
Right, I guess. Yeah, who knows? Texting on your own cell phone, really. That's a whole different paradigm.
It's a game changer, for sure. But yeah, I thought it reminded me of being a kid. And like,
yeah,
the experiences of like fighting with my brother and having my parents try to tell me what to do. And that was all extremely relatable. But I don't know if it would be to a kid today. I hope it would be.
I mean, it's gotta be. Even though you can spend a lot more time in your cell phone and less time actually... Like, to interact with Sam, she basically had to wait for him to come over. Like, she couldn't text him. But I feel like you're still... Even when you're texting, you're still interacting. And interacting in person at times.
That's
like
true.
It's gotta be somewhat universal.
And I also think I don't give especially 10 to 13-year-olds... enough credit for how mature they actually are. Like, I think I'm like, oh, they're still just kids. Like, they are not capable of complex thoughts, but I think that's just me.
They're selectively capable of complex thoughts.
I think they are. I think I think they're better than I think they are at that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was playing someone who was like 15, right? Supposedly.
Something like that.
Learners permitted, because she could drive with her parents, right?
Her mom didn't seem to think that was, like, totally good.
Well, she was like, you're certainly not driving the car alone.
That's true.
So, which implies that
But she wouldn't have been alone.
Well, that's true. Well, that's just like when her dad's like, oh, you're eating some ice cream? Well, does anybody want some ice cream? And she's
I'm true.
Good.
And then she's eating ice cream.
A little bit of a script inconsistency.
Yeah, that was a little weird. But no, I think in general it was it was really good. I really liked seeing the kind of throwback styles and like issues. It was cute. And Melissa Joan Hart can act. Like she was really charming. Everybody else was kind of garbage, but she really, I mean,
I thought her father was
fine.
An okay actor. I mean, the character was a little weak.
Well, do you have any final thoughts? How did it hold up for you?
It was a kid's show, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for a kid's show, I thought it held up really well.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably wouldn't be something you know what? I may watch a few more episodes at this point, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to watch some more?
I really enjoyed it. And part of that, I think, is just sort of reliving it and the nostalgia and... You know, just enjoying it in different ways, like enjoying the style and the clothes and the, you know, the technology and stuff that...
The big computer.
Yeah, the big computer. So big. Although, how mad were her computer skills? She could, like,
so
put together those simulations like nothing.
I can still not do that.
With animations and, good lord.
Yeah.
She did have to reuse the help, Mom, help, Mom soundtrack for both of those video games. But
cut her some slack.
Yeah. Yeah, I would watch some more.
Me too. Do you want to go watch some more?
Let's do it.
Let's turn off and watch some more.
All right.
Oh, I got to do my wrap-up stuff. The show has a Twitter page. It's at FunDipPod, FunDipPod. We're on Facebook. Just search for us. Please rate and review in iTunes. I have, at the time that we're taping this, one review, and it's awesome. It, like, made my day when I got it. We're going to cheers to James Vanderbeek's eyebrows.
All right.